Amen. You can open up to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. When you speak to a problem or situation in your life, do you speak the desired end result that you want? What did Teresa say? Most people react with a negative comment. Right off. That's what everybody sees, because this is a world we've lived in for so long. Such a negative world. That's the way they look at everything. But see, we as believers should be taking a different approach to that. I think you all agree. See, we have authority to do that in Jesus' name. Because that name is what? Power and authority for us. But what does someone say? And it's healing. But that's for the believer. Now see, I did say believer. And I'm talking about one who is born again. Okay? So you're in Acts. Okay? We're going to start reading verse 11. And this is the Message Bible. Because I just think it does just a little bit more for it. Message Bible. God did powerful things through Paul. Things quite out of the ordinary. We're talking about miracles. The word got around and people started taking pieces of clothing, handkerchiefs and scarves and the like that had touched Paul's skin, and then touching the sick with them. The touch did it. They were healed and made whole. Some itinerant Jewish exorcist who happened to be in town at the time tried their hand at what they assumed to be Paul's game. They pronounced the name of the Master Jesus over victims of evil spirits, saying, "I command you by the Jesus Paul preached, the seven sons of a certain Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were trying to do this on a man when the evil spirit talked back to them. I know Jesus. I heard of Paul. But who are you?" Now, can you imagine their reaction, though, to the Spirit talking back to them? "I know Jesus, and I've heard of Paul. Who are you?" And he probably said it with probably a mean, nasty voice come out. Then the possessed man went berserk. He jumped the exorcist, beat them up, knocked the tar right out of them, hallelujah, and tore off their clothes, naked and bloody. They got away as best they could. And you read some of those different, what involves in that story that's not here. They said they were calling out. Some had to be helped out by the others. That was why the best way they could get away. But what a scene that must have been, though. And there was a large crowd of witnesses to that event. How do you think it got spread so fast all around Ephesus? Remember, they didn't have social media back then. They didn't have the cell phones. They capture everything. You can't hide. When you don't think you're on somebody's camera, I don't know. Believe me, those tech people, Google, all of them, they know where you're at. They know what you're doing. They know what your conversations are. Yeah, how do you think all of a sudden your phone gets all these things about all these different ads? They know. You just go into Sam's Club, get an order. They send you back, "Hey, you might like to look at these specials." They list everything that you bought. Okay, you say, "Well, so what?" So what? It all just keeps adding up. You know, some of us actually, as long as we've been married to someone, don't know as much as they know.
That's right.
Yeah. Think about that. Let that sink in. The use of magical names in incarnations was common in the ancient world. Jewish practitioners of magic enjoyed great prestige because they proclaimed to know the true pronunciation of the sacred names of God, and thus were able to release God's full power, is what they would do. That's what people were convinced they were doing. While the seven practitioners had latched on to the name of Jesus to use as an incarnation. But we see that the seven so-called exorcists found out real quick what it wasn't, that it wasn't enough to just know the name. Mm-mm. They needed to know Jesus personally. Verse 17, it was soon news all over Ephesus among both Jews and Greeks. The realization spread that God was in and behind this. Curiosity about Paul developed into a reverence for the Master Jesus. Paul always made sure it went back to Jesus. It was never about Paul. It was always about Jesus. It's not about Pastor Jack. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And that's how we should look at things. You look at things for what he did. Because I know Dean will tell you, one time something was happening and things were going on. And there was no explanation for it. He said, what do we do? And we were standing right back there. And I turned around and pointed. I said, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Concern yourself with him. Hallelujah. Many of those thus believed, and they stepped out into the light and made a clean break with their secret sorceries. All kinds of witches and warlocks came out of the woodwork with their books of spells and incarnation, and made a huge bonfire of them, the size that Rich puts out. Hallelujah. So you can imagine that bonfire, my brother. Someone estimated their worth at 50,000 silver coins. You know, that's equivalent to 10 laborers working 20 years back then. In such ways, it became evident that the word of the Master was now sovereign and prevailed in Ephesus. There's power and authority in the name of Jesus for us who are born again. Born again believers because of who we are in Him. And this is very important right there. We need to know who we are in Him, in Christ. So I just encourage you to read through the New Testament, primarily the epistles, to find out who you are, what you are, and what you have because you are in Christ. See, because as you read through, look for the expressions such as in Christ, in Him, in whom, through whom, etc. Then write these scriptures down and begin to meditate on these scriptures. And then begin to speak them out of your mouths and say, this is who I am. This is what I am. And this is what I have in Christ. That song we sing, new name written down in heaven or in glory. By Charity Gamble. I like where it gets to that part, my brother, because I counted it when I got the lyrics out. Say that seven times, it said. Seven times. Seven times it says that. And say this with me. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am Because I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. He tells you who you are. Hallelujah. When I saw that seven times, completeness and perfection. Seven times. You are who you are because of Christ. And you have what you have because of Christ. Hallelujah. And then what we sang that second song. I am, right, who you say I am. I am chosen and not forsaken. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. Say that. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. What is a child of God? He's a king's kid. You're a king's kid. Remember that. And a king's kid has authority and he has power. Hallelujah. Okay, we were talking about speaking the end result. So, and there are many, many examples in the Bible that we can look to. And we're going to start with one that I feel is really, really important here. Okay, and that is Mark 11. Mark 11. Verses 12 through 14 here. Okay. Now, this takes place the day after Palm Sunday. His triumphal entry he made. Hosanna, Hosanna. Riding on a young donkey colt that had never been ridden. And that he rode in, went into the temple. And it said he spent the day looking. Right? And then he goes back to Bethany where he was staying. You see what I said? He says in there he took a look around when that day. It says, now the next day when they had come out of Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. See, Jesus was hungry. And he went because he looked and saw that fig tree with those leaves. Because he knew at that time, usually there's these little tender buds that you can munch on. But he didn't find any. None at all. Jesus then decides to use this as a teaching tool for the disciples. He said to the tree, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Making sure they all heard it. Then he turned away and walked. He didn't stand there and stare at it. Because in verse 15 it said, and he and his disciples came to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple. This is day two, right? He was there the day before and he saw what was going on. What did he do this time? He cleaned the temple out. He threw the money changers out. He cleaned it up. And then it says, then He taught them. That's when he taught them. Cleaned it out first. Because this way they wouldn't be focusing on all those other things, see? They would only be able to focus on him and the word that was coming out of his mouth. Man, I can just see him throwing him table and doing those things and chasing out the animals that were in there, that brought in there. But once Jesus spoke to the tree in faith, see, there was no need for him to look back. He had given the faith command. Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And as far as he was concerned, that tree was finished right there and then. It died that very moment. He spoke and turned and walked away on his first step. Never looked back. Charles and I just had a conversation to that about, you know, not just the tree, but plants in general. You speak to them kind and softly. They will grow. You're harsh in voice and everything to a plant. It will die. It will not turn out to be that plant you desire it to be. Am I right, brother? That's what the conversation we just had. But it always reminds me of when my wife was out there taking care of them big flowers that were on our back porch. I was watering them, taking care of them, and they just weren't blooming out like they should. They looked pretty decent, you know. And she goes out there, and I didn't realize it. She started doing this for about a week or so before. I wonder what she's doing, because she would go out. She said, I'll take care of one. She went out there watering, and she'd tell them how beautiful they were, you know, the fragrance that they had. Man, we had flowers on that thing that were this big. Just continually covered it. And then I took them into the basement for the winter. And I said, okay, we'll see what happens to them. Guess who went down the basement and talked to them? The flowers lasted all through the time down the basement. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, God just wanted me to let you know. It's how you speak. And you can speak to people, too. See, because you imagine if it does that with a plant, and you can see it with your very eyes. What are you doing to an individual? A kinder, more gentler Jack. Yeah. Hallelujah. Psalm 112, my wife prayed over me. Hallelujah. Okay, so now, the third day, Jesus and his disciples passed by the tree. And this is what happened. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. It wasn't coming back. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Jesus spoke the end result, and that was the end of it. You see? It pays how you are speaking over your situation. You speak the end result. And then you thank God. Thank God. That's what you spoke. And if you have some time, remember, Lord, I spoke this and I believe it's happening. I thank you that it's happening. It's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. And it will. I said it will. Yeah. Because he's true to his word. Had nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. About backing his word. He will back his word. Because he can't lie. Now, look to Mark. Mark chapter 4. And this is where Jesus calms the storm. Says, now they've had a big thing going on the shore, remember? And all up there were so many people. Jesus is out in a boat, and he's preaching to the people there. Because when you're on a lake and something, for some reason it echoes, the sound just goes even more. So it's behind him and it's carrying into the people. So that's where he was ministering from. Okay? Now, he says, the next morning, as they, you know, okay, let's go back here. Oh, wrong one. Down here, verse 35. Verse 35, Mark 4. Okay? That same day, when evening came, after he got them preaching, he said to them, let's go across to the other side, guys. When they had sent the crowd away, they took him in the boat, just as he was. Means he never got out of the boat. He stayed there. This was no rowboat, okay? Understand, this is one huge boat. In fact, it weighed like 6 ton. It was big, okay? I think we missed it somewhere. We think this is some little rinky-dink boat that they got into. No. This was a vessel, Tim. Yeah, 6 ton. Okay. He said, let us go across to the other side. When they had sent the crowd away, they took him in the boat just as he was. There were also other little boats with him. And a great wind storm arose, and the waves splashed into the boat, so that it was now filling the boat. He was in the stern asleep on a pillow, on Mike's pillow. They woke him, and they said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He stretched his arms and said, oh, okay. So he rose. He goes out and he rebukes the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Then the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Words spoken in faith will produce the desired and expected end result. Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Let us go across to the other side. Peace, be still. Now turn to John. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now this is a story about Lazarus. So when Jesus received word that his friend Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was a couple days before going to him. It says, now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Hey, Deb, Martha, Martha, Martha. Hallelujah. We go back a long way. That was a skit we did. This was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said to his disciples, this sickness is not unto death. See, death would not have its victory, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by him. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But when he heard that he was sick, he remained where he was 2 more days. And it was pretty serious sickness when they told him. Now He was up beyond the Jordan River into the place where John was first baptizing. He remained there teaching, and then he decides it's time to go and wake his friend Lazarus. See, nothing excites Jesus. He had a purpose and he had a plan. Same with the fig tree. He had a purpose and a plan. Go teach his disciples something. So he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I'm going that I may awaken him from sleep. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will be well. Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of getting rest through sleep. So then Jesus plainly told them, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go, boys. Jesus was not glad that Lazarus was dead. He was glad for the opportunity to teach the disciples something so that they would soon see an amazing miracle. See, he knew what he would do. He had already saw the end result by faith. Verse 38, then Jesus, again, groaning within himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone was laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who had died, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So she said to them standing, go ahead and move it. Because they weren't going to move that stone. Till Martha said, move it. So she moved out in faith right there. Because she said, I do believe. Roll the stone. So they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I did that for the purpose of not blowing the mic away. Teddy has such a hard time with, you know, catching that. So I've got to be more aware of that, Ted. But he said, Lazarus, come out. You know, and if there was any other bodies in that tomb, the only one that was coming out was Lazarus. Because remember, they made a tomb. There was quite a few bodies that were buried in there. He who was dead came out, his hands and feet wrapped with grave cloths, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. When Jesus spoke the words, Lazarus, come out, the end result was Lazarus came out. He had already seen his father bring life to the dead in the Word of God. You can turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to read verses 21 and 22. See, because this is where Elijah, he was staying with a widow woman and her son during the 3.5-year drought. See, this was all under the direction of God. But the woman's son dies. The woman's son dies. It says, verse 21, Elijah stretched himself upon the child 3 times. And called out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray that you let this child's soul come back into him again. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the sound and the soul of the child came back into him, and he was revived. He was alive He was alive. In 2 Kings, we have another example. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. This is Elijah's apprentice, by the way, Elisha. And it's about that Shushamite woman and her son. And that woman's son died also. But that woman's son was a blessing. Was a blessing from the Lord. Now, all our children are a blessing from the Lord. But this lady didn't have kids. And Elisha wanted to know, because of what he was doing for her, made a place for him to stay, stay up above her place, give him a room, place, and when he traveled, he'd come stop. And he wanted to do something for her. You know, what can I do for her? What would you like me to ask the Lord for? And she was satisfied with everything she had. I have no need of nothing. She was doing this out of the goodness of her heart because she loved what he was doing. She knew this was a man of God. And then his apprentice, Elisha's apprentice, came back and said, you know, I do know that she doesn't have any kids. He says, oh. So he prayed and said, you go down and you tell her. This time next year, she's going to have a child. And she was like, what? Wow, I'm going to have a kid. I don't know how that's going to happen, because she knew she was up in age. See, age doesn't have nothing to do with it. Not when God's involved. So she had a baby. She had a baby boy. And he was out with his dad in the field. Because he was probably about 12 years old or so. And he had a severe headache. And he wasn't feeling well. So they took him back to the house. Took him back to his mother. And she was cradling him in his arms. And he died. And he died. You know what? Elisha comes back in the area, and he said, because they'd sent out someone to talk to him, and talk to the man of God, and said she needed him to come. And he says, everything all right? And she said, tell them all is well. Then tell them that he died. And then Elisha couldn't figure out why the Lord didn't share this with him. And so he gave his apprentice, here, go take my staff and lay it on him. He did. That didn't do the work. And by the time Elisha got there, he says, Master, I put that on there and it didn't wake that boy up. No. It was going to take a touch from a holy man of God. God worked through him. God works through each and every one of you as well. Yes, he has. He said, you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do you believe that? Yes. You better believe it, because it's true. It's what the Word says. Hallelujah. It says, when Elisha came into the house, he saw that the boy was dead, lying on his own bed. She had taken him out and put him on his bed, the room that she made for him. So he went in. He shut the door on the two of them, and he prayed to God. He went up and laid on the child, put his face on his face, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. Then he bent over the child, and the child's flesh warmed. Then he got down, walked once back and forth in the house, and went up and bent over him. And the boy sneezed 7 times. And the boy opened his eyes, and he was alive. The boy sneezed 7 times. 7 is the number, as I said, of completeness and perfection, both physically and spiritually. Now back to Lazarus. When Jesus and his disciples had arrived at the tomb, Jesus stood before it, prayed to the Father in faith, and spoke the desired end result, which was Lazarus come out and Lazarus came out. Jesus always spoke the end result. When the faith command is given, it expects the end result to which it was given. Did you catch that? It expects it. Well, that was Jesus. And so? See, we can as well. It just takes a little faith. You still got your little seed? I do. Don't lose your seed. Keep your faith strong. Word up. Word up. It will make your faith even stronger. Why do I say that this here? We can do what Jesus did. An example is in Mark 5. Mark 5, verse 25. Okay, the woman with the issue of blood. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not any better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I touch his garment, I shall be made well." She didn't say it with a question mark. She was making a statement. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She spoke the desired end result, and she got it. "If only I may touch the hem of his garment." And she was healed. She was healed. Mark 5:34, Jesus, because once she touched him, the faith, her faith, drew on him, and he knew it. Jesus knows when you reach out to him, when you reach out to him in faith, to reach out to touch him. Physically you can't, but spiritually you can. That's why we have a spirit man who can make that connection, because the Holy Spirit that's in us. We can feel that touch. And when you reach out to him, he can bring that healing. Just be believing. Stay strong. Because sometimes a fight goes on. But we have the victory. No matter what, we have the victory. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Never to return again. She was never the same, brother. Never, never the same. Our words have the same power as we speak them. When Jesus and his disciples passed the fig tree that next day, going back to Jerusalem, Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." Jesus very calmly says, "If you have the God kind of faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but assuredly, I say to you, whoever says and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Do you believe that? Yes. Amen. Jesus used the word "believe," though, one time. How many times do you use the word "say"? Three times. It's important to say what you believe. And then keep saying it and saying it. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Faith in our words will work the same way because we are born of His Spirit. We are joint heirs with Him and have His faith. His words spoken in faith out of our mouths release His power. They can and will call those things that do not exist as though they do. Have the God kind of faith. We receive that God kind of faith and its mighty power from God Himself. When we became a new creation in Christ Jesus and Holy Spirit came to dwell in us, that's when Jesus became the author and the finisher of our faith. And He's also our high priest. Because in Hebrews 3:1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. We are partakers of the heavenly calling, the heavenly anointing, and Jesus has become the high priest of our confession. Of our confessions also. Do you understand that? Our confessions. We're talking about the first one. You made the confession of faith and got born again. But then those confessions that you make, it says right there that He's going to take care of them. He's the one who's going to be taking, handle them up for you. He is our high priest. When we speak to the mountains in our lives, He is the high priest over our words of faith. He expects us to exercise our God-given authority and dominion in the earth. We were given dominion back in a garden, and it took Jesus to get that back for us when He went to the cross and died. Unleash that force today, because faith is a force from the heart and not the head. So unleash it. Unleash that force that you already have. Yeah, you already have it. Seeing and speaking the desired end result, just like Jesus did. You and I received all the faith we'll ever need when we made Jesus our Lord and Savior. Always consider the good report of God's Word, not the news reports, not the doctor's reports, and not the economy's report. Have the God kind of faith. See, the God kind of faith in you will work for whoever will put it to work. In Galatians, last scripture, Galatians 5, chapter 6 of the Passion Translation, all that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. And what's love got to do with it? Everything. Let us do as Jesus did. In faith, speak the desired end result. Hallelujah. And then don't waver. Do not waver. Amen. Well, thank you.